welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Hallelujah. This evening, I'm going to speak about character. And before I do, let's pray. So over the word, thank you, Father, for your word, which is truth and life. I pray, Lord, that every eye, every ear, every soul and spirit will be open tonight for the revelation of your word, of your truth in their lives and in their hearts. God, that we will not only hear it, but we will apply it and do it. God, that we will allow your word to come and change us tonight, Father God. Change us to the image of who you are, Lord. And I pray for my mouth and my thoughts, Father God. Let it not only bring glory to you tonight, but let me just speak accurately into what you want to say. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and mold and change your words for every individual so that each one will take and learn that which you want, have for them as an individual tonight as well, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. A dictionary Google definition for character is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. Okay, that doesn't really say much to me. So I looked at a bunch of synonyms. And let's read. It's your personality, nature, disposition, temperament, temper, mentality, a turn of mind, psychology, psyche, constitution, makeup, make, stamp, mold, cast. Okay, so what is your character? Is who you are. Okay, it is your inside and it is your outside. It's your psychology, your psyche, nature, it is your mold, it is your cast. And that directly links to me to your identity. Okay. So church, who are you? Who are you? I'm sure you're thinking about who we are. And I'm also sure that most of the answers we are getting to, I'm an engineer, I'm a doctor, this is my profession. This is what I've studied. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm giving type of answers like that, but you're not telling me who you are. You're telling me what you are, what you've done in a sense. And tonight is all about this. It is about who are we? What is our identity? And why is it important to know who we are? Should we know who we are? Obvious question. Answer is yes, of course we should know who we are. But if we don't, what does it lead to? And what is the after effects thereof? If you do not truly understand who we are, what we've been created for, or why we are sitting, what we are doing. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Okay, church, who are we? Sons and daughters of God. If you have sometime in your life made the decision, you believed in your heart, you confessed with your mouth, and someone called it a sinner's prayer, just saying, you know what, Lord, you are my Lord. I repent of what I've done. I give my life and everything that I am to you. If you have given your life to Jesus and repented, repentance means changing the way you think. It means going into another direction in which you were walking into. Okay, so we made that decision there. Now we're walking away from the way we were walking into. We are thinking into a different direction. And what does that mean? What are we walking towards? What are we thinking towards? We are walking towards being sons and daughters of God. Is it something far away that we need to just, our Father is standing there, we need to touch him in order to be a son? No. When it comes to salvation, it's an immediate thing. Salvation is a full one-shot package. Yes, it's a process. We need to grow in it through fear and trembling. But when we receive salvation, we are forgiven in one shot, and then we are a son and a daughter. And more than that, if that's not enough, we are co-heirs with Christ. Meaning that we are equals with Christ. We rule and reign with Him. That means when God looks at us, He looks at us through Jesus, who's sitting at His side, and on the other side of Jesus, we are sitting there. So when God looks through Jesus, He sees Jesus looking at us. So when we have given our life to Jesus, whether you've known that or not in that moment, we've been turning around and walking towards a new us, a son and a daughter of God. That means we were supposed to actually die over there as a new being is walking towards a father, as a son, as a daughter. And what does that mean? Yes, we've heard this. We've heard the sonship. We've heard everything about it. But let me ask a question. Who is sitting here tonight, or who has, even through this week, you felt guilty about what you've done or who you are? You had condemnation about what you've done or who you are. Just thank you for that hand. There was a couple. Yes, your crowd is alive tonight. Hallelujah. Woo! I just struggled with the previous crowds, but I love him so much. My hand is up as well. We struggle with condemnation. We like, yes, it's in a sense, not even something we've done directly this week, but our past, in a sense, is still haunting us. Yes, bro, you slept with those 12 girls. That's on you. Until the day you die, you know, that's going to be in your marriage one day. That is affecting your wife right now. We've got our past, whatever it may be, not leaving us alone. Let me tell you what, if that is us tonight, it means we do not fully understand what it means to be a son, what it means to be a daughter. It means we do not fully understand what happened at the cross, what happened at the day when we gave our life to Christ, our Savior. So the cross, the gospel, is the complete remission of sins. Complete. A student asked a week before the Fired Up event, was it really a sacrifice for Jesus to come and die for us, knowing that He would be resurrected? Fair question. Fair question. And the answer is, the suffering that Christ had to endure was not the fact that He was beaten, He was bruised, and that He bled out and that He died for us. It is hectic, yes. But that's not why He came. That's not why He suffered. Jesus suffered because He became sin for us. He became cursed. Cursed is he who hangs on a tree. He became sin for us. He bore our sins in His body, to the effect leading to God turning away from Him, leaving Him, God taking His presence away, His love away from His Son. That was the suffering. That was the payment. That was the price that Jesus had to endure for us. So question number, I don't know, I'm going to ask a lot of questions tonight. But hopefully there will be answers for everyone. If Jesus became sin, overcame death, while at it preaching in Hades as well, giving people the chance for salvation down there, after the act of the cross, becoming sin, bearing our sin in His body, what does it mean when we take sin upon ourselves, which we have repented for, and feel guilty about, feel condemned about? What does that translate to? For me, it's nothing more than we are disgracing the cross of Christ. Because why? We are saying, Jesus, You became sin, You bore our sin, You took our sin, but I'm going to choose to just carry this with me. I'm going to decide to feel bad about this. I'm going to carry this, and I'm going to question this, and I'm going to blame You for this. When I state it like that, it sounds really stupid to do that, don't you think? But that is what I do, and I'm sure that is what many of you do. as sons and daughters of Christ, we understand that when we repent of our sins, and true repentance is you stop doing what you're doing. Otherwise, it's not repentance. Because you turn around and walk into another direction. You change your thinking. So if you've truly repented and stopped doing what you're doing, Jesus, He not only forgives, but He forgets about it. So why in the world would we want to go and feel condemned about it if He's already forgotten about it? As far as the East is from the West, and if you can measure that, please come talk to me. That's how far He removes the sin away from us. It's never coming back, okay? It's never coming back. When we repent of our sin, it's never coming back. So why do we choose to hang on to it, feel bad about the things we have done, and let it form our identity? God, thank You for this new day today. Lord, I'm a sinner. But I cannot stop doing this. God, I feel so bad. Why don't You make me feel better? Lord, give me Your joy. Give me Your strength. It's not bad to pray. But it's bad to grace the cross of Christ if we decide to just carry our sins around when Jesus bore it in His body for us. Jesus took our sin on Him and gave us this bridge. He bridged the chasm, the gap that came through Adam, that came through sin. He bridged it, meaning that there is no sin anymore. Yes, we do sin, but through repentance, in a sense, we do not sin at all because God forgives us and He forgets about it. Period. Then it causes us to have a relationship with our Father, our sons, and daughters. And that should be our identity. That should be at the core, at the center of who we are. Church, who are you? We are the sons and the daughters of God. You may be a doctor, you may be an engineer, you may be a pastor. Whatever you are, that is built upon the foundation of being a son and daughter of God. Do you agree with me tonight? And I trust the Holy Spirit that He's going to come tonight. And I want to encourage you to really just open yourself for the Holy Spirit tonight. And He will come and reveal who the Father is to you. And also reveal to where you are standing in relation to the Father. If you are standing righteous, meaning in right standing with God. If you are standing actually walking towards Him. Or are we just in this big fat mess focusing on a lot of other things? Not God, because He has given us this relationship. Why did God create us? To walk with us. He created Adam and Eve. Why? Because, you know, during the cool of the day, He came and He walked with them in the garden. He wants to know them, be in relationship with them, and that is what He wants today. The same God then is the same God today. He wants to walk with us. He wants to know us. He wants us to truly be His children, to be co-heirs of Christ, and to take that identity, take that authority, and walk in the fullness of it. And practically, I'm going to speak about this in the context of the Holy Spirit gift of healings, the ministry of healing. And this is applicable in all the other gifts in so many other areas of your life as well. Of what effect this has when we do not understand who we are in Christ as His sons and as His daughters. When Jesus sent the 12 apostles, we read in Matthew 10 from verse 7, "And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without paying." So what happened here? Jesus gave all the authority He had, gave to the disciples, to His 12 disciples, and He said, "Go, heal the sick, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead." Okay? Not heal some sick, raise some of the dead, cleanse some of the lepers, cast out some demons. So what am I saying here? What is God's will? God's will is for every single person on earth to be set free and to be healed. Period. Okay? That is the truth. That is God's heart. He is a good father. And He does not give us pain in our bodies to teach us lessons. He does not use relationships to teach us lessons. He does not create heartache so that we should learn a lesson. Why did the relationship not work out? Because we did not listen to God the first time He spoke, before you asked that girl to date you. Yes, we learn a lot of things in the meantime, because God makes all things work together for the good. But it's not His will. He does not want us to break our hearts. His will is to get one girl, get one wife, kiss your wife for the first time. That's His desire. Is in the purity, is in the holiness. Did I mess it up? Yes, I did. No, us believing that, yes, Lord, yeah, there's no need to pray for my back. I've had this for 25 years. But I believe I have this because God is teaching me to become stronger. He's teaching me, He's building character in me. I compare that to a father taking his beautiful little girl, turning the stovetop onto its full heat, taking that little girl's hand and slapping it right onto that plate and holding her hand there saying, with her going crazy, do you feel this? Do you feel this? You better never ever do this because this is what you're going to feel. Does that sound like God? No. God is good, and His will and His desire is for every single person to be set free and to be healed. So if we have come to this place of believing, oh, we deserve this pain, yes, we deserve it. We deserve death. We deserve hell. But through Christ being, accepting Him as our Savior, we don't deserve it anymore because we are the sons of God. That means you come out of this place of feeling sorry for yourself, coming out of this place of knowing that, yes, we will never, ever be worthy. We all fall short of the glory of God, but through Christ and through His blood, we are made righteous with God as sons and daughters, as co-heirs. Okay? So that means we have to come out of this pit of feeling sorry for ourselves, thinking that we deserve all these bad things, and walk into the place of, I'm a son of God. This sickness should not be in my presence. And that's the end of it. God has given us all authority. This is He did with the disciples. Go, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, raise the dead. And that was the end of it.
But, excuse me, why didn't no one show me this? Is it too loud for you guys? I'm sorry. Should I repeat all of that? Could you guys hear me at the back? Okay. And on campus especially, I just want to commemorate the students because just the last couple of weeks, you've really been stepping out and being bold in praying for people, just approaching them and praying. Whether there was a healing or not, for me in a sense, it's irrelevant in this rather than seeing, yes, you are just forgetting about yourself, laying down the fear of man and starting to pray. When we had the Angus event on Friday evening, there was a girl in a wheelchair. People ambushed her in the parking lot. They ambushed her at the gate. They ambushed her as they were handing out Joy magazines. And then I did not pray for her. I just said, you had the best seat in the house tonight. Enjoy it. But what's great for me is seeing the people just stepping out in faith. Because stepping out means you are stirring your faith in that. But now, who's ever prayed for healing of a person, and the person did not get healed? Yes, we've got a couple of 100%ers in this place. Or you've ever prayed for a sick person. I don't know which one is good. Hallelujah. Is it God's will to heal every single person? Yes. But why did they not get healed? Why is God making it so difficult for healing to happen? Why is God doing it? Quick flaw with that question is God is not making anything difficult.
God gave us every access to all power, to all authority when we gave our lives to Him. And that's the end of that. Okay? So why did the person not get healed? It is a question I'm sure many of us are asking ourselves and ask a lot. Maybe we're meditating and letting it consume us in a sense. Character. If we had to take this hall tonight and an individual place yourself in this position, you prayed for everyone. Everyone needed prayer. And tomorrow night we're going to have the same size meeting. And on Tuesday night we would be in the, what's this, the Loftus Stadium. And it would be full of people. What is it, 60,000 people. Thereabouts. And every single person there needs prayer. And every single person there got healed. If that were you praying for every person and every person got healed, will you perhaps become prideful? Will you perhaps say the words, oh, now I'm getting this Christianity thing right. Now I'm a charismatic-y child. Now I understand this. Would that perhaps be our response? What is more important to God than us getting 100% success rate in healing, in miracles, in remember, I'm just using this healing ministry as an example. You can apply it to anything you are struggling with or have questions about. What's more important to God than us having 100% success rate? Or our character, meaning our heart? The answer is our character. Our heart is way more precious to God than us performing a bunch of miracles. Again, why did God create us? To walk with us. To know us. For us to be His sons and His daughters. To be in covenant with Him. To be in communion with Him. To know the depths of His heart. That is why He created us. So does He care whether we have 100% success rate or not? Does He care about how we see ourselves in terms of our identity with Him? Oh, yes, He does. Does He use us praying for people to build that character? Yes, He does, as He uses so many things. What happened when we pray for people and they do not get healed? What is our response? 1,003 questions. Eh? We're like, yes, you know why? Immediately, why do we focus on everything except Jesus? Is that true? You can receive this anointed gifting of healing, perform. You can be this person doing all these healings and not have a relationship at all with Christ. You can do that. But that gifting would destroy that individual. That gifting would become that person's identity. Hey, Pete, who are you? I'm the healer. Pew, pew, be healed. There would be arrogance and there would be pride. If the character is not in place to merely let this healing be an outflowing of you as a son and as a daughter. Would you agree with me tonight? So character is much more important to God than that. We start immediately asking all these thousands of questions because our identity is not what it should be. We have 1,003 questions and we focus on it and we are consumed with it instead of focusing on the answer, the one big fat answer, which is Jesus. So we get consumed with the former and forget about the latter. Matthew 17, from verse 14. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him and kneeling before him said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you?
How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. A faithless and twisted generation, was Jesus telling this to the boy's father? No. He was speaking to the 12 disciples, because he gave them all authority to do their healing. Jesus gave them authority. They saw healing after healing. They walked alongside Jesus, seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. Then they get this guy, this boy, not getting healed. This is the first account of it recorded of a miracle, a healing not happening in the Bible. Jesus is saying, twisted and perverse generation. This means corrupt thinking. That is what it means. It means that what got in the way of the healing? The disciples. And even more so, the disciples' noggins got in the way. Their thoughts, their heads, corrupt thinking got in the way of the miracle happening. Was it God's will to heal the epileptic boy? Yes. Jesus healed him instantly. Did God give them all authority to heal every single sickness? Yes. Did they do it? No. Did God give us all authority to heal every kind of sickness? Yes. Do we get it right? No. Why? A twisted and faithless generation. What is going on in our minds? You know, the gospel, even though received freely, it comes with a very steep price. Need to lay down your life. It comes with the price of your life. So it is something you need to count. It is something you need to be serious about, because God says if you are lukewarm, rather be cold. Rather not know me than pretend to know me than to be a hypocrite. Rather be dead, we should be dead, and then we are sons and daughters of Christ. Then we are free from corrupt thinking, because it's no longer we who live, but Christ in us. The hope of glory is love made perfected. So through the Holy Spirit, we are made competent in all things, but we need to lay down our lives, because whatever we lay down, God occupies, and the more we lay down, the more He occupies. So if we are completely dead, it will be we are completely Christ. So our character would become Christ. That means we will operate in love. That is Christ. So God is calling us to die so that we can become love. To merely be a vessel in His hands. So this miracle, this healing did not happen because the disciples' thoughts, heads, corrupted thinking, got into the way for it to happen. See, and there's an integrity to the gospel which you need to understand and to count the cost to. Because knowledge, what does knowledge do? It only puffs up. Knowledge puffs us up. But love edifies us. So through understanding who we are as sons and daughters of Christ, we start to walk into authority, in the complete authority He has given us. Because this healing will be built onto that and will be an outflowing of our love and compassion we have on the people. We're in a very dangerous place when we want to pray for people, when we see them as a number, when we see them as a testimony, or we see them as a stat. Will a miracle happen? Definitely not. Because it is an outflowing of love and compassion. So how many times do we pray for people just say, yes, I'm going to pray for you because tomorrow I'm going to tell someone this healing happened. Dangerous place. So if our identity becomes Christ, it becomes love. So that means whatever we do will be an outpouring of love. And then we will walk into the fullness of that which Christ has for us. You see, Jesus, when He spoke to the disciples, calling them twisted and all that, He said, move from here to there, the mountain, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And some transcripts leave out verse 21, which says, however, it's not on the screen. It's in the New King James Version. I don't have it there. It says, "But however, but this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting." Many teachings go around saying that Jesus is referring to the demon, that only some demons go out through prayer and fasting. I don't believe that to be correct. Because what is Jesus addressing here? He's addressing the unbelief. He's addressing the doubting. Jesus already said, go heal the sick, cast out demons. He didn't say, go cast out some demons, but before you cast out some other ones, you need to pray and fast about it beforehand. No. What does fasting and prayer do? Is it a tool to twist God's arm and say, oh Lord, I didn't eat for a day, now you better come and do the healing? No. Very dangerous. Don't go there. We're in partnership with God. He's your Father. Prayer and fasting does what? It moves us out of the way so that God can move. As simple as that. However, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting, meaning this only comes out through prayer and fasting, meditating on who Christ is, forgetting about our flesh, because that is what fasting is about. You don't care about your fleshly desires, your thoughts, your 2,000 questions. You forget about it. You focus on Christ. So that means through prayer and fasting, you become more like Him. In other words, you die a little bit more. In other words, you will become a little bit more successful as a son and daughter because you've died a little bit more. So this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. So that means if you're struggling to praying for people and they're not getting healed, it means that you need to go and fast and go pray and you need to go die so that Christ can manifest Himself through you. After the previous service, I prayed for Mduduzi here. We all know Mduduzi. Mduduzi's hands, they can't open up properly. God did not heal him. Why did I tell Mduduzi, it's your lack of faith, man. You need to go and spend time with God. We tell that to people sometimes. They don't get healed and we're like, it's your lack of faith, boy. It is. We are hurting the world out there, and the world is hurting enough. I need to go die a bit more so that that miracle can happen. Is it God's will to heal Mduduzi's hands? Yes. Period. Did God give all authority to me to do it? Yes. Period. So this is something I need to grow in and get right. I've grown a lot from where I was. Yes. But there's so much more for me to grow into. And the same applies to all of you. We will only be perfected the day that Christ comes again. So church, we need to die. But we need to have a hunger for this. We need to have a hunger. We need to have a love. We need to have a compassion for the lost and the broken and the sick and the depressed people out there. Because if we do not do it, we will have no desire to die unto ourselves. And then we are just going to become useless sons and useless daughters lying in front of the TV and not doing anything. You understand what I'm saying? So we need to pray tonight that God gives us a desire for His people so that we will be moved by compassion. So we will actually forget about ourselves so Christ can work through us. Because if Jesus had to stand right next to me while I was praying for Mduduzi, you know what would happen? Mduduzi's hands would be healed. Period. If the individual you pray for believes that Christ can heal them, there's no reason why it will not happen. No reason whatsoever. It's not God's fault. It's not the individual's fault you're praying for. It's your fault. I'm not talking about if the individual totally disagrees and like, no, I don't believe God can do this. Because God says a person like that, you shake the dust off your feet. What does that mean? It means you need to completely forget about that individual and complete about what happened. They do not have 1,003 questions about it and just move forward. But Mduduzi believes that God can heal him, so there's absolutely no reason. That means a mistake what is with me. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go fast and I'm going to go pray. And I'm going to continue to pray for Mduduzi. I'm going to continue to go fast and pray. I'm going to continue to pray for Mduduzi until it happens. Because I cannot imagine not having full functionality in my hands. I cannot think how it should be. So I want to see you get healed. I have a desire for that opportunity. So I'm going to go work myself to get it right. Because God loves you. You're His son. And that's the end of it. I will not settle for hands not getting healed. I will not settle for the dead not being raised up. Because can we sitting here with our full functionality and hands, imagine how it should be to not have that? No, we can't. And we need to ask God for a hunger to see people get healed. Matthew 21, from verse 21. And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." If you have faith and what? Do not doubt. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will say to this fig tree. What did Jesus say to the fig tree? He came to it. It had no fruit on it. So Jesus spoke a curse over it and it just withered away. I think that's quite cool. I had a tissue here somewhere. And Jesus said, if we have faith, how much faith should we have? About this much. I bet most of you can't see that my fingers have a gap between them. Faith as much as a mustard seed. That's how small they are. Uncle Angus gave me a big jar of it. But this size, I mean, in that jar, there's many, many seeds. It's this small. So if you have this much faith, but we have no doubt, you will tell mountains to move, people. You will see people getting healed from whatever disease. Because there's not some diseases that are harder to you than others. It's irrelevant to God whether it's hands that need to get healed or a person's cord that needs to go. It's the same to God. Nothing is impossible for Him. So with this thing of faith, I believe the thing we struggle with most is the doubt part of it. I believe we all have faith. We know that through Christ all things are possible. We have the faith and the knowledge that He can do all things. But we doubt without knowing that we are doubting because we have 1,003 questions. So we should start making people stats and really love them. And die unto ourselves so that God will be moving more effectively through us. We need to just get out of the way. And the only way that can happen is if we understand who we are as sons and daughters. And that is what God wants to do tonight, is He wants to bring us back to that place. It doesn't matter where you are, what you've done, where you've been. It doesn't matter how many times you've repented. God says 70 times, 7 times, I'll forgive you every day. That's a lot of times. I don't believe there's anyone that repents as much as I do. Man, oh man. But tonight, brothers, sisters, there's no one here that God doesn't love. He loves all of us. He loves all of you. Tonight He calls you to come back to His open arms, to His warm embrace, as His sons and as His daughters. Because God's heart breaks when we turn away from Him. Whether it's unknowingly or not, His heart breaks because He loves us. He's given us His Son so that we can be His sons and daughters. Not only intellectually know that, really be that. Who are you? I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. This is who I am. And this death, this pain, this destruction around me, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus because you do not have the audacity or the right to be in my presence. And that's the end of it. That is the end of it. I want to encourage us tonight to step in boldness. Is it arrogance? Is it pride when we command things to leave? No, it is not. Remember, we do not command God. We're not like, God, I command you in the name of Jesus to heal this person. No. We command this to go because if we understand who we are, sons and daughters, we have the full right to do it. No, it actually leads us to complete humility because we will get into our cars walking away from a situation like that and we will cry. We will cry a lot because we are so overwhelmed by the fact that Christ wants to use us and work through us and we do not deserve it. He chooses to love us every single day. So it leads us to humility when we understand who we are through Christ.
And I know it's difficult for us. We want to have spreadsheets. We want to have a tick box, a PowerPoint, a pinpoint. We want to read these 30 books of these 30 reasons why healing does not happen, 52 reasons why, blah, blah, blah. You know, all those books are just excuses. It's just excuses and it's nonsense. Truth is, it's God's will to heal a person. Truth is, He gave us authority to do it. So if it fails, who is the problem at? It's your fault, so you need to die more because we do not understand who we are in Christ. And that's the end of it. There's no other additional reason to it. If a person believes that Christ can heal him, that's the end of it. That is the end of it. And we need to understand this and walk in the fullness of it. Luke 10, verse 21. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding. I have no idea where the scripture came from. And revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now, the gospel in the kingdom is for who? It's for the little children. They just accept truth. They just accept what you tell them and they go do it. So that is why we struggle, because we want to analyze everything. We want to understand everything. You know what? Our faith is a spiritual thing. Is our brain spiritual? No. So our brain cannot discern spiritual things because our brain is physical. And that's the end of that. So let's stop asking God all these silly questions, trying to understand and get his motives behind what this and what that, and just take his truth of what his word said. This, he is good. This is his will. That is the complete power he has given us. And let's run to that. Because if you had to tell the little children, listen, Chopi, if you put on this cape right now and you run 23 feet and jump on this spot, you know what? You can fly. What would that kid do? Put on that cape, go stand on the spot, run to this point and jump, and he will fly. If Jesus said that. And that is the truth. What would we do if someone told us that? Like, please, bro. Like, what's the diameter? What speed should I be running? How should the cape be sitting? What if I don't jump a centimeter too late? What if... We are laughing, but that is what we are doing. Let's be honest. If Jesus told the little boy, you know, do this and this would be the outcome, that would be the outcome. Without thinking about it, just doing it. You know what? Sometimes we need to stop thinking. Just do. What is faith? It is hope for the things unseen. What is faith without works? It is dead. So if you do not have works, you do not have faith. But if your faith is only to be in something seen, that is not faith at all. That is just being stupid. Because that's not faith. And it's like, God, I want you to display this to me first, because I will look before I attempt this. So let's stop focusing on the things seen and open up our eyes to the things unseen. Because God calls us to see clearly. What is the revelation of faith? Is it saying to the mountain that it should move, or is it the mountain moving? It's the mountain moving. We all face many mountains. We all have many mountains in our lives. We are commanding them to move. Some of them are moving. Only when they are moving, then we see clearly. See, when Jesus rebuked the disciples not getting the healing right and then coming to do the healing completely, where was he coming from? He was coming from the Mount of Transfiguration. So he's coming from the presence of the Father. Many times the disciples, they were sick, they were looking for Jesus. Where was he? He was on the mountain. He was in the presence of his Father. So where is the place to get perspective? Where is the place to see clearly? It is in the presence of our Father. It is in our devotional time, is in our quiet time. So if we do not have quiet time, will we be able to have perspective and see clearly? Definitely not. Because knowing God leads to fearing God, and fear is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. So if you do not fear God, we are stupid. It's what the Bible says. It's the beginning of wisdom and understanding. So if we do not know God, we will not know who we are. If we do not know who we are, what would your response be if you meet a guy on the street? Hey, who are you? I don't know. You'll be like, yes, what an idiot. He's drunk. Or yes, psych ward, bro. Or you do the Christian thing and pray for him. Or help him. But how many of us, we do not know who we are or understand who we are or understand who we have been called to? Do you know what? God loves us so much. He's continuing to call us and call us to call us. And tonight is one of those times when he's calling us back to his open arms. You know, Jesus is crucified with his arms wide open. Not only bridging the gap between the sin and the Father, but it's a warm, open embrace to come to him. And the band can come to the front, please, Natalie. God wants us to understand who we are, sons and daughters, because if you get that right, everything else will board onto that. So healing, our success, love, our relationships will be an outflowing of knowing who we are. And tonight we are going to pray for that. Tonight I believe many of us, we need to repent actually, because we've been, after repenting, in a sense we haven't repented, like turned 180 degrees. We've like just sidestepped a bit and then still continue to walk in that direction because it's difficult. Because it means Paul said, you know, it's a warring in his flesh type of thing. So you have all these things surrounding you and it's difficult to lay down your habits and all of that. But if you truly just understand who we are, we would command these things to get away from us. Just as Jesus would. In a practical thing, I'm starting doing my life in whatever situation I find myself. I'm just thinking, okay, if Jesus was standing next to me, what would be the outcome, okay? This would be the outcome, and that is what I speak. Because if you would be real sons and daughters, it would be Jesus standing in that situation, not Christian. It would not be Henan. It would be God standing there. It would truly be effective in us and through us. And we need to have perspective. We need to see clearly in every healing situation, every work situation, every friendship, in every relationship we have. So that means we need to spend time with our Father. I say this so many times, but there's such a deep-rooted truth. But I believe most of us, especially if you're Afrikaans, you sang in your Katkasasi class when you small. Lees jou Bybel, bid daar krag. Lees jou Bybel, bid daar krag. En jy sal groei. Groei, groei. That is so true. If we spend time with our daddy every single day, we will know who he is. Knowing who he is, we will know who we are. Knowing who we are, we're going to change the world. We're going to see the darkness flee because of Christ in us. Would you agree with me, church? So I want us all to stand. Why don't you stand with me, please? Let's put our trust in God tonight. We've been hurt. We've been disappointed. We've been let down. We have not seen results in so many areas. But you know what? We need to stop blaming God. We need to stop blaming God. We just need to stop asking all these questions. We just stop having to understand why this and that. Why? We need to stop asking all these questions and just surrender it to God. So tonight, if you want to pray this prayer with me, just surrendering all your questions, surrendering your life, surrendering all your rights, so that we can live in Christ as sons, as co-heirs. And it's great to pertain to all that, all the miracles and all the giftings. You know what? that is great. We should follow and pursue it. But our biggest gift, our biggest treasure is knowing God intimately. So if your focus wants to be that from today onwards, you get perspective in the presence of God to see clearly by going on the mountaintop, wherever that may be, I would love for you to come to the front because I would love to pray with you. So you can just come right now if you want to respond to that word. Before we pray, we're gonna pray a prayer, and I would love for you to pray. Pray it after me. Just we agree to what God wants. Before we do that, wherever you be standing, whether you're at the front or not, if you've never given your life to Christ, feel that the time you've did it, you were not completely honest or knowing what you've done, and you want to do that tonight, knowing and willingly, without any doubt, without any question, laying down your life for your Savior who loves you. That is you tonight, and you want to dedicate your life to Christ. Why don't you just put up your hand wherever you are so we can pray with you? I'm going to ask one more time. There's no need to be ashamed at all. We're all going to pray a prayer with you just to know Christ. Yes, Lord. Standing in front, I want you please to pray a prayer after me. Lord, we've messed up. We're focusing on so many things. We're asking you a bunch of silly questions instead of wanting to know you. Lord, I lay down my life. I lay down my questions. I lay down this desire I have to want to understand and know everything. God, all I want to know is you. You are sufficient. You are enough. Lord, your love is all we need. Love casts out all my fear. It casts out all my demons. It casts out all my pain. All my troubles. All my doubts. So Lord, I bring my life, my heart, my thoughts, my doubts, everything I am. Jesus, I give it to you. Father, I want to be your son or daughter. Lord, whatever I achieve in this life is just built on the foundation of being your child. Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. Open my eyes to the things unseen. Lord, I bring my quiet time to you. I bring my mountaintop experiences to you. Even more than Moses, I want to see your face. Of course, God, above all the miracles, above all these gifts you give us, our most precious gift is you. It's a privilege to know you. Our Lord, we want to know you. Let us be rooted and grounded in love. Let it be an outflowing, outpouring out of our lives. Because we know love is not an emotion. Jesus, it is you. Give you all we are. Give you our pain. Give you my sorrow. Give you my disappointment. And I will no longer look to those. I will look to Christ, eternal hope of glory. Worship team are going to continue ministering in the back. You're more than welcome to remain in the spirit of worship. If you have any prayer requests, especially healing, if you need any healing tonight, we would love to pray for you. We're going to pray because we want to see breakthrough tonight. Because it's God's will to heal you, whether it's physical, whether it is emotional. If you just require, if you are desperate for prayer, know that God can heal you. We'd love to pray for you. But any other prayer requests or questions or doubts, I'm going to remain in the front as well for a while. Feel free to speak to me. There will be some counselors as well in the front. We'd love to pray with you. If you do not require prayer, you do not want to worship, the service is dismissed. You're more than welcome to go. It was such an honor to have all of you here tonight. I want to speak a blessing over your week. And my heart's desire is that this week you will come to the full knowledge of who Christ is. Whether you are working, sitting, or sleeping, that you will be so open to God coming to reveal Himself and to work in you, to work through you, that you will experience God's love like never before in this week. Even as you drive home, I speak such a blessing. Father, come and meet all of us, Lord, with your love, with your presence. Overwhelm us, Lord, with who you are. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.